We're back. Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace. As we promised earlier, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you, joined by Hal Gill, who was on the road to his hometown, Boston, Mass. So let's first find out where the family truckster is. Let's set the scene. Hal, where are you right now?
I'm on 95 heading up the through Rhode Island. I got my daughter, my son, and my dog, and we're making the trip.
Okay, so
trying to bang it out in a day and a half.
So very nice. Good time. So this is like an annual thing for you guys, right?
Yeah. I try to get up and see family and friends and go to Cape Cod to see my mother later today. So yeah, this is what I do in the summer.
So you
chuck my bags and get out there and go see family and friends.
So you just got on the road, Skillsy?
So I'm on the road, on the road.
How many hours have you been on the road?
Oh, this is like a 16-hour trip.
Ooh.
16 to 17. So we rocked it pretty hard yesterday. Did like 12 hours and now we're limping in the rest of the way.
Hey, I remember making that drive DJ's freshman year up at Boston University. Yeah, it was a two-day trip. We stopped in, was it Philly or right outside of Philly? Well, right outside of Pennsylvania.
Right.
And slept and then got up the next morning and then we took the drive. It is a long drive.
Yeah, I was in Allentown. Of course, Billy Joel fans know where Allentown is.
Oh, yeah. That's from a man, Billy McCaffrey, too, from Allentown, PA. But
I think that's where we stopped.
Allentown?
Right before Allentown, yeah. We stopped, spent the night, and then get back on the road somewhere around there. Yeah.
They closed all the factories down, as we learned in the song, right? But So, Hal, no breakdowns of the family truckster this year, though. There was you had a problem last year, right? You got stranded for a while.
I got good luck going so far.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
I don't need that again.
We won't go into the details this time. So, Hal, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since Andrew Burnett was hired. You know, your background is somewhat similar to his in that you guys played in a lot of different settings, a lot of different coaches, played for a long time. What was your first impression in talking to Andrew Burnett, what you know about him?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I played against him for years, but, you know, I look back on his career and he was a 93 draft just like I was. I was an 8th round. He was a 7th round. You know, he played in the East Coast. He played the AHL and grinded his way up like I did. It's a pretty great story. I mean, he had some good numbers. I guess playing against him, I always thought he was just, you know, a silver spooner, you know, like he played a long time, over 1,100 games and had a bunch of points. So, you know, looking back and seeing his full story is pretty impressive. So, it was cool hanging out. I never played, we never crossed paths, but, you know, just hanging out with him a little bit, he's just got no aura about him. He's just really approachable. We asked him what we should call him. He said Bruno. And I said, okay, Coach Bruno. He's like, no, not Coach, just Bruno. Bruno works. He just drops everything. I it's kind of a different take on a head coach. He just seems very approachable, very upfront with what he wants to do. And like you said, he's been around. He's gone through a lot of coaching and worked his way up through the ranks pretty quick. But he touched on a lot of different aspects of the game and in and around coaching. So it's kind of cool hanging out with him. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table.
So this is something I thought about, especially in light of there's a lot of discussion surrounding Columbus going to Mike Babcock, more of the old school. You know, you played for a lot of these kind of coaches, right? And so did Andrew Burnett, probably along the lines. You know, iron fist, a little more growling. And it does seem like the game is evolving away to some degree from those coaches. There's more that maybe have the disposition of an Andrew Burnett. Do you feel like that's going to be a little bit what they're looking for here, maybe to get the most out of the group?
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. Like, I see Babcock getting hired again, and I just think the days of the tyrant coming in and yelling and screaming, those days are over. And, you know, Bruno seems like a guy who's going to have a conversation with you. He's going to have fun. He's going to demand hard work, but you can't be the yeller and screamer. And so I think those days are over. I just, these players are so talented and the game is so, you know, it's loose and flying. Let them go out and play. They're going to make mistakes. And, I always think of Tortorella, who came out, and I don't know if you guys remember this, the speech he gave. He's like, you can't – I got to change the way I coach. You know, he's got to be more of a communicator. He can't just go in, yell, and scream anymore. He realized he's got to change. And I think the NHL has changed. And I'm surprised to see some of these guys coming back as coaches when there's guys like Brunette that are going to go out and, I think John Hines had the hard conversations and learned how to develop young players. And, another guy that I look at is Marty St. Louis. He's talked about it where he said, you're developing players. These guys are young, so you can't just yell and scream. You got to develop them, and you got to have communication with them. And I think that's the new wave of coach that we're seeing.
You're right, Hal. We're talking about Hal Gill. Nowadays, you got to talk to these players. You can't yell and scream at them. You got to talk to them like men and treat them like adults, and then just challenge them to be responsible and accountable when they're on the ice or off the ice. Now, do you think, with his Coach Bruno situation, or just Bruno, him being drafted a late round pick, him spending a bunch of years in the NHL, but he's benefited from going to different teams in a sense. Do you think that helps him as a coach because he's been at several different places?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the guys that just jump in the league, and you look at Wayne Gretzky is probably the best example. Not the greatest coach. For a guy like him, he just doesn't understand why you can't just make a play. And I remember Ray Bourque was my first D partner with the Bruins, and he was like, just skate up the side, pull it back, cross it to your body, throw a sauce across the ice, that's the play. And I was like, I can't do that, right? I got to learn other ways. I got to dig in, and I got to work on skating. I got to work on my skills. I think Brunette has gone through that. He came in, he's admittedly not the fastest skater. He's kind of self-deprecating and talking about his game. But not being the overly skilled guy and having to go through the grind, I think he's been in all those positions. He's played third, fourth line roles. He's played power play. He's played skilled position. He's kind of been through everything and had to tool his career. I think that's huge benefit when you're trying to coach. It's easy to coach the skilled guys. You just let them go out and play. It's the third and fourth line guys that you have to get to buy in, and you have to get the older guys to respect you and what you've done and throughout your career. So there's a combination of everything that Brunette has that no doubt he's going to use all his tools to get this team on the right page.
Now, with that being said, because it's sort of alluded to my next question, Hal, because we've been trying to figure out how do you get the most out of Duchesne, Johansson, guys like that had really good years 2 years ago, but then last year, this past season, it just sort of don't know what happened, but they were just a shell of themselves from the prior year. Do you think him being that communicator, that approachable person, that guy that has spent many years in the NHL with different teams, do you think that will help him in regards to those two guys and guys that have been in the league a long time, but you need to get a little bit more out of?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it's by accident that Barry Trotz chose a guy that, like, historically he's coaching an offensive game. He's talked about, I loved just listening to him briefly is, he doesn't want to defend. He wants to get the puck. And I know it sounds foolish to say that. If you're hounding the puck and you're hunting pucks, you're creating offense out of that. And it becomes a lack of – you're not playing defense as much as you are hunting. And if you're saying, I want to create offense, that, right away you won Matt Duchene. You won Ryan Johansson. Those guys, Phil Forsberg. They want to make plays. They want to create offense. And so if you're telling them, hey, a coach is coming in, he wants to play an offensive game, we're not playing a defensive structure as much as hunting pucks, I think that wins them over right there. And I think that's in large part what Barry Trotz was looking at. Now, Andrew Burnett is got to go in and he's got to decide what makes him tick. You know, where is their strong suit, and how do I trigger it? Is it hey buddy, you're the best, I love you, and I'm going to pump your tires, or is it the little side motivation? Whatever technique it is, he's got to find what makes those guys tick. And I think that's where you see all those long conversations over the summer and leading up to the season, just trying to get feelers on what's going to make these guys go, because everyone's different. And I think that's, you know, you can't call everyone into a room and give them the same speech. It's got to be tailored to what they want and what kind of game you want from them. So that's going to be the challenge for Burnett is how does he get each guy going individually. But I think being that offensive guy, he's got a good head start.
Hal, before we let you go, your thoughts on this. There's all kinds of talk. You've got Milwaukee just ended up their season. They had a really good year. Askarov looks like he is on his way down the road to being a really special talent. We'll see where that goes. You've got UC Soros. There's all these questions about, you know, what would a goalie be worth? And meanwhile, you have Vegas taking a commanding 2-0 lead. They look like the best team. They really played well against Dallas as well. And they've played 5 different goalies. What have we learned on about Vegas and how important the goalie is in your mind in this NHL game we play?
Yeah, well, first of all, I haven't been on with you guys in a while, and I have to say, I keep hearing people say, "Why are we paying attention to Milwaukee Admirals?" Well, why should we care about that? Because the youth of your hockey team is developing, and the best way to develop is to play in high-pressure situations, and the best high-pressure situations, I don't care what level you are at, you want to play in big games that mean something, that are the playoffs, and for those guys to have a good run, they're learning a lot when they're going through that. So good on them, first of all, and I think you look at what you take away from that is a lot of development that they're getting under fire, and I think that's going to be huge down the road for the big club. So that being said, I think that's a great experience for those guys. As far as goaltending goes, everyone knows you need a hot goaltender. You need someone that's clicking and then someone that can bounce back. And going through those goalies, Askarov, he's got a lot to learn. At some point, I think he's going to be great, but I think that's down the road, so we'll see where he goes. As far as Vegas goes, you could have fooled me. And if you look at that, I mean, I hate to break a game down to one save, but that one save on Cousins, that turns the game around. That was, I believe, would have been 2-1 for Florida. And that's on the road. That gets that crowd quiet. And that's a different game. And sometimes it just comes down to that one save. And if you got a hot goalie that makes the one save, I think Bobrovsky was winning, playing some winning hockey and stealing games earlier on in the playoffs, and that looks to be changed. But we're going back to Florida, and it's a different game, and everyone's building. We all know that. So a lot of hockey left to be played, but I think the whole goalie thing blows my mind because I just don't know. Like, obviously, you want the best goalie you can get, but really, you want the hottest goalie at the right time, and that's you can't replace that. There's nothing better than a hot goalie in the playoffs, and right now Hill seems to be clicking. So we'll see how that goes, but I think this series is far, far, far from over.
Are you impressed, though, that Vegas seems to pretty consistently defend very well, regardless of who's playing goalie? They don't give up a lot.
I also think that goes to that. I mean, Eichel has been fantastic. Marchessault is coming along, but the depth that they have, I think that's, and Florida for that matter, it has played really well in their depth game. They're getting contributions from everywhere. So I think depth almost matters even more, and it allows you to dictate the game, and then you're not relying on the goaltending as much. I think this series, it's impressive what they've done with the goaltending situation, and I feel like Vegas kind of dropped the ball. I mean, that started with Fleury and Leonard and the circus that they had going on. And I don't know how they never really solved it, but they seem to have solved it by now. So I don't know what the recipe for winning is, but they seem to be doing something right.
Man, they are. They're looking good right now. It could flip. We'll see. Hal, keep driving safe. Knock on wood. No Griswold adventures on the way up to your homeland. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you know what? I was just I'm hoping for no adventures, but I will say I'm back in New England, and I, you know, my daughter's like, I have to, can we stop somewhere? And I'm like, there's going to be a dunk sale. And she said, well, you just passed one. I said, well, there's going to be another one about a mile. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you have options. You definitely have options.
For a Dunkin' guy, I got the right spot to be in. So right. We're going to go grab a coffee and make the rest of the trip.
All right, Hal, thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
Cheers.
All right, Hal Gill joining the show here on his odyssey up to Boston in the car, in the family truckster. All right, we're coming back. We will hash out some of the stuff that he threw out there, some good tidbits we can talk about. Stay tuned. We're coming back.